So as you guys know, anybody with access to Microsoft Office 2010 or later can install Window Eyes for free. So Evan Silver is going to do a demonstration of Window Eyes.
You know, I don't necessarily have any particular, true expertise or I'm not a salesperson for Window Eyes. I've been using it for a long time, and the reason I've been using it is I used to be a Vocalize user when it was for DOS, and Window Eyes, was the cheapest way to upgrade to get a Windows screen reader. I've owned Window Eyes, since it first came out, and really didn't start using it until probably Windows 95. But through the years, I've been using JAWS also, and for my work, I use JAWS mostly. And so at home, I mostly use Window Eyes, just sort of out of habit. It's not necessarily that I feel such a strong affinity for it over JAWS or over any other screen reader. This new Window Eyes offer, which has been around for a couple months now, allows you to download and install it for free if you have a valid license of Microsoft Office 2010 or 2013 or Office 365, which is 2013, but a subscription-based model for 2013. What I did was, I actually have two machines here. What I thought I would do is just quickly just show you how you can go and download it and install it. I think probably the easiest way to do this is just to make sure that you have Office already installed and working perfectly. Make sure that it's not that you haven't lost your license key and it's running in demo mode or something like that. Make sure that it is working. And this is mainly true if you have Office 2013 or are trying to run Office 2013, because that's a little trickier to make sure it's fully running and licensed and authorized. For Office 2013, you mostly need some sort of Microsoft account already set up, because your license gets associated with your Microsoft account. And it's especially true if you're using Office 365, which is what I use. With that account, you sign in to your Microsoft account, like with a Hotmail account or something like that. It's just any email address that's through Microsoft, live.com, or there's a few others that Microsoft lets you use as your account. You pay your $99 a year or $100 a year and put it on your credit card, and then that lets you install Office on 5 different machines. And I think additionally 5 portable devices, like the new iPad, Office for iPad that just came out. Make sure that that's running on your Windows machine, and then you go to windoweyesforoffice.com.
Heading 1. Visited link window-eyes.
So I'm on the windoweyesforoffice.com website, and there's a bunch of propaganda here describing, how to take advantage of the offer and everything. But basically, you look for a
select language combo box.
A combo box, and it says select language. You choose English if you're an English speaker.
Select language, Dutch left paren, Belgian right, E. English.
And
English download now button.
Okay, then you just click on the download now. When you click on download now, it loads another page where it actually does not download. And then you have to choose basically another link that says download Window Eyes again. And then once you do that, it will prompt you to either run or save the executable file, which is, I think it's called like windoweyesforoffice.exe or something like that. You either just run it right there, or you
links, 3 headings, 2
you go
landmarks.
And find it.
Caps on.
I usually like to save it and then find it in my downloads folder and then click on it there, meaning hit enter. Then it installs. And the installation is similar to installing JAWS or NVDA if you guys are used to it. Frankly, this was new to me because in the past, pretty much most of the ways that you install Window Eyes as an actual fully licensed owner was only from a CD or a DVD. I don't think there was really an easy way to just download it and install it and have it be a licensed version. You had to install it from a DVD. So this was new to me. And frankly, until I was invited to come speak here, I had not installed this Window Eyes in this way, for this new free version, because I already owned it, so I didn't need to install it again. So I was surprised to find out the voices that are included. It's different than what normally comes with Window Eyes. If you buy Window Eyes, pay the full price. I mean, these days, I think you get Eloquence, which is the same synthesizer that comes with JAWS. You also get, I think, one of the RealSpeak voices or the Vocalizer voices nowadays. And as an old time screen reader user, I'm just used to using Eloquence, so I never bothered to use any of the other speech synthesizers. But with this new Window Eyes, the free one, what comes with it is eSpeak, which is the same synthesizer that comes with NVDA. And bundled with that is this new thing called Microsoft Speech Platform, which when I read that, I assumed assumed it would be like maybe, I think in Windows 8, it's called Microsoft David, the built-in voice that comes with Narrator. But it's not. It's this new voice here, and that's what we're hearing. This is the Microsoft speech platform, and it's really the only voice that seems to be there. As far as, you know, I don't think there's other choices for different personalities or anything like that. So this is what's bundled for free, right, you know, right with the package. You have the option of paying GW Micro and buying a license for the vocalizer speech or eloquence. I think I remember reading they're like $40 for eloquence or something like that. Maybe it's $30. And vocalizer is like $50 or something. I forget if it entitles you to all the English voices and then you pay more and get other languages. I forget the whole deal. It's all written right here on this WindowEyes4Office.com webpage. It seems to be the full version of WindowEyes. No restrictions. It just runs and works exactly like WindowEyes always has. You know, I haven't noticed anything different. You are not entitled to telephone tech support with this free offer. I think you can email them and you can use the listserv, the GW Micro list, which is a community of people, including, you know, the developers and the tech support staff at GW Micro, even the owner, Doug Joffrey, he answers questions right there, you know. So what I have here is a Windows 8 machine right now that I'm running this on. I'll give you my opinion. On Windows 8, JAWS, I think, does a better job with interacting with Windows 8. And that's especially true with the Windows 8 apps, you know, the modern app or Metro app or whatever they're calling it, the Tile app.
8.1.
Oh, I'm sorry. It works in 8 and 8.1. This is 8.1 that I have here.
That's 8.1?
I've upgraded this to 8.1, but not I guess there's a new update to 8.1 coming out again in very soon, like in the next couple of weeks, that will add even more features. But this is the 8.1 that lets you go in and modify it so that it'll boot straight to the desktop and that kind of thing. It's, you know, less of a nuisance as it was with just version 8. But with the Tile apps, you know, or Metro apps, the little bit I played around with it, JAWS does a better job, especially with their new feature in JAWS 15, the touch cursor. You know, they did a pretty decent job with that as far as it goes. I still don't think it would be preferable to using a regular desktop app with, you know, with all the built-in hotkeys and things that we have in sort of standard Windows desktop applications. But in the Tile apps, JAWS does seem to let you interact with them. The WindowEyes really doesn't, as far, you know, from what I can tell, you know, it's so limited, it's just not worth it. You're better off just using other substitute programs that you're used to using for mail and for browsing and all of that. So with WindowEyes, hotkeys that you use are different than in JAWS or in VDA, but they're not dramatically different. I switch back and forth between JAWS and WindowEyes a lot, and I'm able to keep it straight for the most part. In JAWS, to read the title, it's Insert T or Caps Lock T with the laptop layout, and in WindowEyes, it's Control Shift T for title, you know, things like that. To do a read to end, you know, or what JAWS calls the say all command, it's Control Shift R for read all.
Is there a mode where you can use WindowEyes but it uses JAWS commands?
Yes. So you're asking, is there a mode to put WindowEyes in so that it mimics JAWS? Is that what you're?
Yes.
Yeah, so there is. I've played around with that. It's not 100%. And there are some things that just don't map. You know, there's some features that WindowEyes has and that JAWS also has that are unique enough that there's not a one-to-one correlation. So there's not just a plain substitute hotkey to get that functionality. But there is a mode you can put it in. In my opinion, it's almost a little more confusing than it's worth because of the exceptions. You know, if 7 out of the 10 hotkeys are the same, 3 of them are different, and then you have to figure out why is this key not working, and you know you're wondering, is my machine broken? Is there something wrong? You know, and then come to find out, it's just that there's just not a remapped hotkey for that. So it's almost easier just to try to teach yourself those keystrokes. WindowEyes is fully customizable, so that you can remap any keys on an individual basis, keystrokes. You know, if there's anything you just like really love about JAWS that you just have to have, but still use the rest of the WindowEyes key command structure, you can remap that, you know, that single key or those handful of keystrokes. Like a key in WindowEyes that I don't think there's really a direct analog in JAWS is something called Speak Summary, which is Control Shift S by default. It kind of does different things in different contexts. When you're just sort of arrowing around through menu items or through dialog boxes, when you do Control Shift S, it'll read you what's in focus.
Checked Internet Explorer 8, 1 of 8 items selected.
So I'm on the desktop right now and it just said Internet Explorer. When you're in like a web browser.
Checked Internet Explorer 8 of 8. Security report 7 links, 2 on clicks, 1 frame, 2 tables. Google search button. Google search. Security report line, 11 of 22, 12 links, 1 on click, frame 1 of 1, 2 paragraphs, 1 form, 1 language, 14 anchors.
So you heard those little pops, that's WindowEyes version of going in and out of forms mode. You know, they call it browse mode. When you do Control Shift S on a web page, instead of just reading you you know, the item that has focus. It just reads you a bunch of stuff about your area of focus. In this case, it just read a bunch of statistics about the web page I'm on. You know, how many links there are on the page and how many lines there are and how many tables and all that kind of stuff. And it said, it also said security report, which means that, you know, it's a secure connection to the web page. Of course, I guess with the news about this new virus or whatever that is, Heartbleed or whatever that, these secure connections may not be as safe as we thought. But when you do Control Shift S, what I like, and I'm just going to kind of throw in, sprinkle in some of my opinions here. What I really like about Window Eyes that I haven't found sort of a direct analog in JAWS is that it tells me what line I'm on out of how many. So it's a really easy way to figure out how far down the page I am, so that you sort of have a sense of, like, you know, how big is this page and how much longer do I have to go to keep reading? Or, you know, if I'm looking for some particular piece of information, if it tells me that I'm near the bottom, that means I must have missed it. Or if it tells me I'm still near the top, that means, all right, I still need to keep looking. So I haven't really found really a great equivalent to that in JAWS that's convenient. The browse mode in Window Eyes, so when you're on an internet web page, you know, there are a lot of very similar commands to JAWS, you know, single letter commands like T for table and H for heading and E for edit box, E for next edit box, and all those types of things. So those are all very similar. The command to go to the next big chunk of text, you know, do many of you use that in JAWS to find the next block of text? The letter N, right? In Window Eyes, it's the letter N. For some reason, I think in Window Eyes, it's implemented better. For me, I find it extraordinarily useful. With JAWS, I feel like when I hit the letter N, it may go to a block of text that's 25 characters long, and then I hit N again, and it'll skip over like a bunch of other stuff without moving to the actual next big block of text that's 25 characters long. To me, it feels inconsistent, but with Window Eyes, it seems to always just move. However, I have the number of characters set. I usually set it to higher than 25 without fail. It helps me to be more effective, I think, when I'm trying to find the beginning of an article, you know, when you're trying to skip past all the junk at the beginning of a web page.
Have you tried with other browsers?
Yeah, it works with Firefox. It works exactly the same. So it doesn't yet work with Chrome. Another thing that people know about Window Eyes is that the mouse movement hotkeys. It uses the number pad on a full-size keyboard or integrated into a laptop to move the mouse around. You know, in reality, I think that was probably more useful a few years ago. These days in the modern operating system and with the modern browsers, and I think that feature has become a little more marginalized. And I think it's because, I don't pretend to fully understand it, but the way that a lot of the modern accessibility hooks tap into the operating system, they're sort of tapping directly in and not really looking at what they call an off-screen model. There's nothing for the mouse, nothing for Window Eyes or JAWS to see as far as moving the mouse around. Like it's not able to tap into it, you know. And like in a lot of areas of Windows 8, you can't really use the mouse movement keys. You know, I think in Internet Explorer 10 and 11, you can't really use them on the web page. I'm talking about, I think you can still get to the menu bar. But you know, in a lot of other areas, you can still use it, and there are a few, you know, areas, just like when you're using the JAWS cursor to, you know, you need to click on some particular link that, or icon that's not in the tab order accessible from the keyboard. Also, the table navigation. I'm just going over a few things that are different between JAWS and Window Eyes.
I'm feeling Google search button.
The table navigation, you know, in JAWS you use Control and Alt along with the four arrow keys to move in the four directions through a table, through the cells. In Window Eyes, what you do is you go into table navigation mode first. So when you're on a web page or you get yourself to a table, you know, you bring your focus to a table either by hitting the letter T for table to get, you know, to find the next table, or just through, you know, arrowing down and then you hear it say table. Once you're sort of inside the table, you can then do Control Plus, and Control Plus puts you in table navigation mode, and then you use Insert and the four arrow keys to move around through a table. So it's a little bit different than in JAWS. And in fact, I think even when you go into the JAWS sort of emulation mode, it doesn't really work. The table navigation still doesn't work exactly like JAWS does. You still have to kind of, it's still sort of a hybrid of this stuff.
You know, JAWS, you can, you know, put things in laptop. You have more JAWS keys, including, you know, caps lock. Do you have something similar like that so
yeah.
that you can create more than one key that's your
So you can put it into a laptop mode where the caps lock also becomes an insert key.
Same thing.
Same thing, yeah.
As someone who has some vision,
I used to like the fact that you could move the mouse around and you could get some feedback.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
Is that still
so? Good? I think so. Like I was saying a few minutes ago, I think so. You mean so? So what Maria is saying is that physically moving a real mouse,
yeah,
you know, an actual hardware mouse around.
And this is only, of course, if you have some vision.
Yes, right. And I think that, like I was saying a minute ago, that even if I mean, in these modern, you know, Windows 8 and in, you know, some other areas of Microsoft, and, you know, Internet Explorer, and I think even Firefox is a problem now, that you would not nowadays get the speech feedback on these newer programs like you used to, even when you're physically moving the mouse. But you're right. In other areas, when you actually move the mouse, as the mouse pointer is moving over icons and things, Window Eyes will echo out loud what the mouse is on top of. Another thing that Window Eyes has now are these, you know, what they call apps, their version of what JAWS calls scripts. So I just thought I'd show you a few of the apps that are shipped with Window Eyes.
File A. App Manage, App Central A. App Get a Pull Down. Auto Complete the Pull Down.
Okay, so these are the apps that are. I've installed a couple of apps on here, but maybe I didn't on this one. This is the new machine.
GW Toolkit G Pull Down. Hotspot H Pull Down.
Okay, there's one called Hotspot, which is like a way to kind of create a place that will an area of on the screen to simulate a mouse click by hitting a hotkey. I think JAWS has one called like Hot Zone or something like that, or Hotspot, or.
Insert key layout, I pull down.
So here's this one called insert key layout. This is the JAWS keystroke emulator. So you can activate this. There is a hotkey to do this rather than just activating it from the menu of apps. It's Control-Alt-0 and it toggles you between the JAWS keystroke mode and then back to the Window Eyes keystroke mode.
JAWS quick key J pull down.
Okay, so here's another thing that I've played around with. It's called JAWS quick key. what it's supposed to do, and here I'm going to actually open
Help.
And start it.
JAWS quick key J pull down. JAWS quick key enabled.
So when you turn it on, it lets you enter a JAWS keystroke, and then it's supposed to tell you what the Window Eyes equivalent of it is. So it's not a mode where you are actually using JAWS keystrokes. It's to help you sort of bridge the divide and learn Window Eyes keystrokes. So like if you know, say a JAWS keystroke, and you say, all right, what's the keystroke for checking the battery life in Window Eyes. You know what it is in JAWS. You can hit it. Let's see if it works.
No defined key.
So let's see if, let me try it a different way.
No defined key.
Yeah, so that didn't work. In JAWS, it's insert shift B, right? Or caps lock shift B to check the battery on the laptop. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
All you experts?
No defined key.
So here, it just says no defined key. It didn't do it. It didn't come up with the Window Eyes equivalent. Let me just try another one.
Title status of current program
okay,
control.
But I did insert T, and it's reading it says title.
Title status
here,
of current
I'll
program
check the
control
time.
Dash shift time date insert dash T.
Yeah, I did insert F12. That's a time and date. I'll do insert 5 on the number pad.
Word control dash numpad dash right arrow.
So that one worked. So it told me control numpad right arrow, which is the control 6 on the number pad for reading the current word. Insert 8 for... insert up arrow.
Line control dash numpad dash center.
That says that's line, and it said control center, which is control in the number 5. So there are some that it tells you and some that it doesn't tell you. Basically, you're just better off reading a list of commands and studying them. What I'm going to do now is switch the audio jack. So what I did is I plugged into a different laptop now so that I can use Microsoft Office, because on this other computer I don't have a sort of fully functioning version of Office on here. So we're in Microsoft Word right now, and if I do the speak summary key, which I mentioned earlier, which is that Control Shift S.
Page 102, column 101, print layout, Window Eyes for Office presentation, notes, dot, docs.
Okay, so it read me a little bit about this document, page 101.
Page 102, column 101, print layout, Window Eyes for Office presentation, notes, dot, docs.
And it tells me the name of the document I'm in. So it just kind of gives me a sense of what's going on, you know, where my, what's happening with the focus.
I'm assuming all of your Windows commands, like Control S for save and Control N and all that stuff, none of that changes?
It's all exactly the same.
Yeah, it's about engine
up and changes there. So a couple of you mentioned, so you know, how does Window Eyes actually work with Office itself, Microsoft Office? I would say in most ways it's pretty much the equivalent of JAWS. You know, it has all this, you know, same features. It does things a little bit different. My general sense is that JAWS, to me, feels just, you know, in using Microsoft Word and Excel and Outlook, it just kind of feels zippier than Windows Eyes does. I use Outlook and Microsoft Word a lot, and I use Excel to a healthy extent. It just seems a little snappier, and kind of things just sort of happen with a little less effort than in Windows Eyes, but it's, you know, it's a matter of tiny increments. I mean, an example of something that's different in Windows Eyes is there is what they call a page navigation dialog box. And you can use this in a bunch of different places. But basically, it's kind of like, you know, in JAWS, how you have you can bring up your list of links in Internet Explorer with, you know, insert F7. In Windows Eyes, what they do is rather than having a bunch of different keystrokes to bring up a bunch of different lists of different elements, they just sort of have this one common keystroke, which is insert tab. And that brings up the page navigation dialog. And inside that dialog, you can then just sort of choose from what list you want to be viewing at that moment. For me, I find it to be a little easier to remember. All you need to remember is insert tab, and then you can just sort of tab around and figure out what you want to do from there. So like in Word, oh, by the way, the way you speed it up and slow it down and change the speech parameters is you use Control Alt and then the left arrow to sort of choose which that cycles between
volume, tone, pitch, rate.
Every time you hit it, and then after you do that, then you do Control Alt up arrow and down arrow to raise and lower that parameter. So that's different than JAWS, but it's not that hard.
Spelling errors, that's app list view 1 of 2. Dialogue 2, spelling errors.
By default, I'm in Microsoft Word. This is just a document I have open. It's just some notes that I wrote down quickly to things I wanted to talk about today. It tells me I have 2 spelling errors. So
app 1 of 2.
So apparently I misspelled app. And I'm just in a list box here. I can hit enter on the word app.
Window Eyes for Office Presentation Notes .docs Word.
And what it does is it takes me back to the document with my cursor right on that word. And
is app.
Okay, and I just moved off of it and moved back to it again. And then from here, you know, to correct the word, I could use the applications key or Shift F10 to get the context menu.
App. Ape.
And it's given me choices.
A. Add. A. App. New comment.
And I don't think none of them are the correct choice.
Window Eyes.
So that's one way you can spell check, is just to bring up that insert tab list and the... By default, it brings up your list of spelling errors. But if
spelling
I'm going go back into the list into the insert tab again, and it's got my list of spelling errors. But what I'm going to do now is shift tab.
Information selection grammatical errors G radio button checks. Information selection spelling errors L radio. Information selection grammatical.
Yeah. So all it's giving me is a list of grammar errors and spelling errors. So that's all. Those are the only choices I have in this document. If I had other things in this document to sort of navigate, like tables or objects or inserted pictures or comments, I think in endnotes and footnotes and things like that, those would show up as options that I can choose from in this list right here. And these are just radio buttons. So the only 2 radio buttons that are showing up are in my current document are spelling and grammar, just because it's a boring document without anything else in there.
If you have tables, the table navigation then like it is on the internet?
Well, it's kind of a hybrid because, you know, Word itself has kind of its own sort of built-in way of moving through tables. And, you know, it's just, even just by arrowing up and down, you're sort of moving from cell to cell and that kind of thing. But you still do the insert and the 4 arrow keys to move to the 4 cells. What I think is you do not have to do Control Plus to go into table navigation mode when you're in a Word document. You don't have to. But other than that, it's the tables are the same. And another way to spell check
with Windows Eyes
is to just, and I actually can't remember if JAWS has a similar command. There are 2 keystrokes. Alt apostrophe moves forwards to the next either grammar or spelling error, and Alt semicolon moves to the previous occurrence of any spelling or grammar error. And basically it's, you know, remember what I'm talking about is you're in your document, it's just moving the cursor to the next spelling error, and then you can either edit it yourself with your regular editing keystrokes, or you can hit the applications key and arrow to find the correct spelling. So that there also is in Microsoft Word and JAWS has this feature also. What do they call it? Is that when you do insert Z? Quick nav?
Navigation mode on.
Okay, so Windows Eyes has the same thing, and it's actually the same command. It's insert Z, and when you do that, you're in a mode where you can then hit single letters to move to different elements in your Microsoft Word document. You can hit the letter M.
App. a P.
And M is for misspelling. So, and Shift M is to move to the previous occurrence of the misspelling. So basically, I've just talked about, you know, three different ways to sort of spell check your document, and I haven't even talked about F7. In Word 2013, F7 really doesn't work well. I think JAWS works a little bit better than WindowEyes, but I mean, neither one of them I think work great. But definitely in WindowEyes, it's useless. F7, the F7 dialog box for spell checking, it exists, but WindowEyes doesn't work properly with it. So you have to spell check in one of these other ways. And frankly, I've been doing spell checking in these other ways for a long time, even prior to Word 2013, because you don't have to go into a dialog box. You stay in your document. So I like that you know, you don't have to give all these hotkeys to, like, read the sentence in context and that kind of stuff. Your cursor is already right there. So Insert Z goes into that.
Navigation mode off.
I'm turning it off now. I'm just going to open up Excel real quick.
Sample window eyes for Office Word 2000 with sample 05.xl. Sample 05. A1 name. Name test 1 grad 0.95.
For the most part, things work pretty much the same. Do you guys remember when I talked about the page navigation dialog box in Word and Internet Explorer that brought up, you know, in Word it brought up the spelling errors? Insert tab. So in Excel, you have the same keystroke, insert tab, to bring up the navigation.
Comment says no selected item list view. Dialog 7 cells and column worksheet app starting. Arrow.
So what it does is it brings up a list of lists, and let's see what it lets us browse by.
Information selection cells and column e-radio button checked.
You can look at a list of the cells in the current column.
Information selection cells and row l-radio button checked.
Cells and row.
Information selection page breaks p-radio button checked. Information selection monitor cells and radio button checked. Information selection worksheets or radio button checked. Information selection cells and column e-radio button checked.
Let's go back around. So like worksheets as an example, and I think in JAWS to see your list of worksheets, it's control shift S. And so here in WindowEyes, rather than memorizing, you know, a bunch of different keystrokes, you just sort of, a lot of these things are just here in this dialog box to see your list of sheets. And then just one thing that I thought I'd talk to you about in Excel is, when you're reviewing a table in Microsoft Excel and you want to teach JAWS what the headers, the headings of the, the top of the columns and the left end of the rows, so that, you know, as you navigate around, you can hear what the headings are for your columns and your rows. In JAWS, the way I typically do it, I think there's another way, but, you know, I go to the verbosity menu with insert V. What do they call it? The JAWS quick settings menu now? Is that what they call it? And then you go down to table navigation or something. So that's in JAWS, and then you sort of teach it, you know, what are the coordinates of the rows and the columns that you want to be the headers. So in WindowEyes, instead of doing insert V, you do alt shift H, and it brings up a dialog box.
Header or total name, the edit box.
Okay.
Dialog headers and...
So this is called the headers and totals dialog. And in a way, it's a little more powerful, I think, than what JAWS offers. It makes a little more sense to me than JAWS. When you're creating these labels, you may have, you know, a giant spreadsheet with a bunch of different tables. So it lets you create a bunch of different rows and column headings in different parts of the sheet, if you want, or the workbook. And you can name them. I'm not sure if you can do that in JAWS. Name each one individually with your own name. So after you give it a name,
region, the user current region list view.
It asks you what region, and it, you know, by default, it's the current region.
Region type row header R radio button check 106.
Okay. So now you choose whether you want row headers.
Region type column header C radio button check 206. Region type row and column header H radio button check 306.
Row and column headers. So I like row and column for most tables that I'm navigating. And so you do that, and then
always read header Y checkbox unchecked.
And then it asks, do you always want to read it? Which means that, like, every time you arrow to a cell, do you want to hear or column headings every single time? You know, usually you don't necessarily want to hear it every time. You only want to hear it when you sort of change directions. You know, like if you're arrowing down, you don't want to keep hearing it every time you arrow down, only when you start arrowing to the right or left.
Region cells GA1D7 read only edit box.
And then it asks you for the coordinates of the cell. By default, it'll pick up wherever you left your cursor off, your focus is what it'll be by default. So usually you want to leave your focus in sort of the top left corner of the table that you want to do this.
Add entry A button.
Then when you're finished filling out all this information, you do add entry, and then you click the OK button. And I've already done this, so I'm going to escape out of it.
Sample 0.
And then now I'm in a...
Name test 1.
I just found this spreadsheet from some old like Kathy Murtha training thing. And
A1 name.
The name, it's a list of names, and then I think it's their grades that they've these various individuals got on various tests. I'm going to arrow down through the name column.
Name Greg.
Name Greg.
A3 Marcia. A4 Peter. A5 Jan.
Okay, so here's Jan. By the way, when I created my name for this table, I called it the Brady Bunch.
Test 1 Jan 0.92.
So that said test 1, which is the top of that column. And then it said...
test 2 0.85.
Test 2 is 0.85.
Test 1 0.92.
0.92, so Jan got a 92 on the first test.
Test 2 0.85.
85 on the second test.
Test 3 0.94.
94 on the third test.
Then. E5.
That's it. That's how WindowEyes goes about doing that. I just thought I'd show you something that's a little bit different. Do most of you use Outlook, Microsoft Outlook?
Yeah.
Outlook 2000, taskbar, open in Outlook, table view list box, inbox, evanevansolver.com, Outlook. From Keith Grove.
Okay. Most of the functions work exactly the same as you're used to. You know, in the newest version of WindowEyes, it does, you know, I'm sure you're all aware of the problem where with HTML messages not reading correctly in the older versions of JAWS, in the last couple of versions of JAWS, it can read the pages natively right there in Outlook without giving you all that table junk that you're used to hearing with the Word Viewer. WindowEyes has that same feature now. And has had it for a year or so. What I have personally found is that it's a little flaky. Like, it kind of sometimes disappears. The feature works for a while, and then it stops. And there's an add-in in Outlook that WindowEyes has created. And that add-in just stops working. And you have to go into Outlook and re-enable it in the add-ins section of the Microsoft Outlook options. So that's a little annoying. Because... You know, and I can't really predict how or why that it stops working, but it just
so it happens
does.
Every so often?
Yeah, every so often. And I've talked to GW Micro, and they just, you know, they don't really have an answer as to why. So one thing that's different is the calendar in Outlook. WindowEyes, a long time ago, I don't know, they decided that the Outlook calendar was just too difficult for them to figure out how to make work. And that was back when, before they started... creating apps. They just never worked with the Outlook calendar. And rather than sort of making WindowEyes actually work within the Outlook calendar itself, what they did is they created their own little interface to access the Outlook calendar, but it's totally apart from the app. You're not actually inside the calendar to do this. The hotkey for it is insert C, and it only works when Outlook is running.
Appointments P, no selected item list view. Dialog WindowEyes Outlook calendar.
It brings up this dialog box that WindowEyes has created, and it lets you sort of navigate your list of appointments. And so let's see if I have anything in here.
Friday, date 4/11/2014, start time 9:00 a.m. Subject, fake calendar entry 1 of 2.
All right, so I'm in a list here. Got one called fake calendar entry. I use the calendar extensively at my work, but I just don't use it much at home. I'm in a list. It's a list of all the appointments that I've scheduled by whatever date range is currently selected. Now, the question is, what date range is currently selected? So let's see.
Details, I'll start Friday. Hit to the close button. Smooth up details else time span near Y radio button check 5 of 6.
Okay, so I have it for the year right now. So if I want to see a list of every appointment I have for this year, then I select year. If I want to see...
Time span month M radio button check 4 of 6.
There's month.
Time span week W radio button check 3 of 6.
Okay, so I have... Now let's leave it a week. So now I'm going to go back to that list.
4/6/2014 to 4/12/2014-1 appointment. By week P Friday date 4/11/2014 start time 9:00 a.m. subject fake calendar. Entry list view 1 of 1.
So it said 1 of 1, fake calendar entry. It told me that, you know, the time and the date and all of that. This is nice. However, I think the JAWS in the subsequent years has made a pretty nice interface to the Outlook calendar. You know, the JAWS improved it. You know, when this first came out, I think this was actually superior to what JAWS had for the calendar. But JAWS since then, I think, tweaked it and it works better.
Did they create their own interface or did they actually tap into it?
Yeah, they tap right into it. Yeah. I mean, there's a few, I think they have a few custom keystrokes, but they just figured out a way to kind of make it work right there in the calendar. And it's sort of, it makes sense to me. It's like, it's logical. Like, you're actually navigating a sort of... feels like a, or looks like a, you know, a wall calendar or something mm-hmm. like that. And, you know, this is a total kind of reinvention of the way a calendar, you know, works, I think, you know, for screen readers. And it works perfectly fine. The JAWS way is, you know, it takes a little less effort now, I think.
Aren't there some things, Evan, in the calendar that, like, sometimes you'll look in a calendar and people have set things up, appointments up, say, by color? Is there any way to tell that with WindowEyes or no?
I'm not sure. Is when it's by color, is that associated with a tag?
But you'll announce it and say, you know, move and something like that. I have no idea how Windows.
Right. So what I'm thinking is maybe Windows might. I've never done that actually. It may. Maybe you could show it. Have it show you by flag.
What
so.
What would you do if you hit insert 5?
Format alert on.
What is insert 5?
That's the color announcer.
In JAWS.
Yeah.
Well, it might tell you, but I think what Tim's asking is, can you see like a list of like all the red things, you know, like for the month? Yeah, and I'm sure, I'll bet there's a way, because I think those colors are associated with flags or tags or whatever they're called. I think there's a workaround using tags where you can create your own custom tags for Outlook items, you know, including, you know, everything, email and contacts and notes and all that. And you can create a custom tag, call it like Vibug, and then you choose a color to go with it. And the color might be irrelevant to you, but Vibug, you know, would just mean that it's, you know, Vibug would be brown or whatever. So I should say though, when you create a calendar entry, you know, like create an appointment, it's the same as when you're doing it with JAWS. So you can still be in regular old Outlook, not in this insert C, you know, Windowize interface. You can just, you know, you can either go straight to the calendar section of Outlook, you know, with Control 2 is the hotkey to get into the calendar, or you could do Control Shift C. Which is what the create the new calendar entry, and you can still do that in Windows, and then you tap to a dialog. It's the same exact dialog box you get in JAWS to create an appointment. Nothing's different about that, and you still save it the same way. And it's just when you want to browse your appointments, this is how you do it instead of doing it straight from the calendar itself.
Evan, can you also do calendar invites with Windows like you do with JAWS?
Yeah, it's the same as JAWS. You just choose that choice. Really, what I'm showing you here, or telling you that it's different, is just when you're browsing your own calendar after they're already in your calendar. So to create the invitation, it's the same as JAWS. The other thing, another little feature that Windows has for Outlook, and JAWS may have something like this. I'm actually not sure. When you're browsing a contact, you know, when you open up a contact, you know, to start tabbing through all the fields, and you say you're looking for the mobile phone number field, you know, you have to hit tab like whatever 15 times, you know, or whatever it is. Instead, you can bring up a dialog box, like a custom Windowize dialog box. It puts all those fields in a list view, and you can hit the first letter, you know, hit the letter M for mobile or E for email, and then you can hit enter and it'll take you right to that field more quickly. It's kind of like, you know, sort of like a list of links in JAWS, you know, insert F7. So that hotkey is Control Alt C, and that's an app. This is part of the Outlook Enhance app. Just one final thing I'll show you is just how you can get a list of the apps. A quick way. There's a website. I think they call it App Central on the gwmicro.com website, and you can, you know, just browse through the list of apps, and they're all, you know, kind of like, you can sort of think of it like the App Store in iTunes. You know, everything's just right there. Like, it's not like JAWS where you kind of have to, you know, there's no central repository, you know, in JAWS for scripts. You just sort of have to know where they are, you know, kind of word of mouth or whatever, you know, and find them, and then you know you download them and kind of, you know, have to know where to copy them into the right folder in JAWS. In Windows, it's a little more seamless.
Dialog app get progress retrieving that list. Please wait. Indented 0.4 inches to bulk. 46%. 52%. 58%. 64%. 70%.
That's a audible audio kind of progress thing. So to let you know that, you know, there's a, you know, an hourglass or a timeline ticking down.
App development 34 closed one.
Okay, so I'm in a tree view now. I did the hotkey was Windows key in the letter G. G for get app. And we're in a tree view now. And the tree view is a list of categories of different apps.
App development 34 closed 1 of 9. Communications 12 closed 2 of 9. Games 9 closed 3 of 9. General 76 closed 4 of 9.
All right, so here's one called General. Let's just choose this one. So I'm going to expand this. I'll hit the right arrow on General.
General 76 expanded 4 of 9, 76 items.
There's 76 choices, and I'm going to start arrowing down.
9/11 tribute 1 of 76 step 2.
Okay, and here's an app called 9/11 tribute.
Alternate voice hotkeys 2 of 76. App get 3 of 76. Auto complete 4 of 70. Braille auto pick 5 of 76. Braille input 6 of 76. Braille keyboard 7 of 76.
Okay, so like, then if you want to just see what one of these is about, I think you can just hit the tab key.
By Rod Hutton. Last update April 6, 2014. Rating 5 stars. Description: use your Windows keyboard as a Braille keyboard. Latest changes: compiled auto hotkey script now works on 32 and 64-bit systems. Systems.
I'm just arrowing down through a little edit box that's, you know, where someone wrote a description of this app.
Comments for Braille Keyboard 1.0.1 C no comp refresh R button. Website W install I button.
I just tabbed a few times and found a button that says install, and I can just click that. I'll hit the space bar on it.
Space. Installed apps I app get version 1.2.3 package app get install date Wednesday, December 18th. Files and packet install I button.
Okay, and then it presents you with one more dialog box, just, you know, making sure that you really want to install it. And it tells you what the files are in it, and, you know, if you really want to be geeky, you can look at them and make sure that, you know, you're happy with that. And then you can just
space
click install
package
again.
Installed. Install I button dialog app get all apps.
And it said package installed. So I guess it was a very small app.
Close button. Okay. Space. Window eyes for office.
So let's see. So then if I go to my list of apps, let's see if it's there. I'm not sure.
Apps, Word at Windows, Window Eyes, Voice Rotor, Virtual, Read to Me, Quick Start, Progress, Indicate, Outlook, and LV Nav, JAWS, Quick Key, Insert Key, Lip, Hotspot, GW, Braille Keyboard, B, Pull Down.
Yeah, it is. Yep, it's in the list of apps, so Braille Keyboard. So that's how you install these apps or scripts. A lot of what seems to be in the Microsoft Office functionality, the extras, are done through apps. They used to be done through set files. So, you know, I'm sure many of you have heard of set files from, you know, that seems to kind of have been, there's not much with set files anymore. It seems like things are, you know, all the kind of added extra bonus functionality are done through apps. But the end result is the same, you know, it's just a different way of approaching it. More questions?
Have you played with any other creating labels or mail merge? How does it do? It's more probably of a general office question. But
yeah, well, I've done it with JAWS. I'm just trying to think if I've done it with WindowEyes. I may not have, actually. I mean, with those, specifically those two things, I think I've not done that with WindowEyes. I don't imagine it's any different. At least with mail merge and you know, the modern versions of Office, I mean, you can, you know, there's that, where there's two or three ways of doing it. You've got that kind of wizard to set it up and, you know, kind of, what, there's like a pane. When you do the mail merge wizard, it puts you in the,
The
task pane, that's it. Thank you. In a different, basically a little segment of the screen, your focus moves over to it. And I think, I mean, in other areas, WindowEyes tracks that just fine. I haven't specifically tested mail merge with that task pane, but it should work. You know, in the ribbons, you can almost get most of the same exact things done by just sort of moving your way through different choices on the ribbon from under mailings and envelopes, whatever it's called, mailings and...
Yep. And WindowEyes tracks that well.
Yeah, it tracks that perfectly fine. So, I mean, I'm saying even if it doesn't work in the task pane, which it probably does, it certainly would work in the ribbon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody.